Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Passion Week here at Praise, a week that begins with Palm Sunday, palm branches, hosannas, blessed is he. A week that must pass through Maundy Thursday, the meal that Jesus institutes, gives to his disciples for the forgiveness of their sins, even the sins that they're about to do to Jesus to betray him. A week when our Lord Jesus was lifted up, put on the cross to fulfill God's will of atonement for the sins of the whole world. A week when Jesus is buried, put in a tomb, and a stone is rolled over the place of the entrance. And there's no panic bar on the backside of the stone, and no digital lock on the front to get back in. An angel would have to come and move back the stone. Weather-wise, this month of March so far has been somewhat up to that proverb, in like a lion, out like a lamb. The Northeast got the brunt of snow, right? There was the first nor'easter, then the second nor'easter, the third nor'easter, then we had one to boot. But by the end of this week, the end of March, we Tennesseans may see the sun and enjoy a high of 67 on Easter Sunday. In like a lion, out like a lamb. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, Palm Sunday, one detects that he is the lion, the king. Zechariah 9, we heard in the text today, says, behold, your king comes to you riding on a donkey with righteousness, the king. But come Good Friday, come later this week, he'll go out like a lamb, a sacrificial lamb. What king gives himself over to his royal subjects as servant of all? What king wears a crown of thorns? What king sleeps in a little village outside of Jerusalem known as Bethany, the house of the poor? What king hangs out with Simon the leper? In all these ways, Jesus this week humbles himself, becoming the lamb, the sacrificial animal of Israel, led without complaint to the cross and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in like a lion, king, Palm Sunday, out like a sacrificial lamb, Good Friday. In all the happenings this week, we would do well to remember and not forget something that happened to Jesus at Simon the leper's house. It may seem insignificant to the main events of this week, the major players we always think about this week, like Pilate and Herod, of course Jesus, and maybe Peter and Judas. But this week is not just about the major players and the major events, as if everything else gets second fiddle, forgettable, insignificant. The event I'm referring to is this. Jesus was anointed with oil on his head by an unnamed woman. Our Lord commented on this, saying, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. So much for shoving this event under the rug of trivial history. In biblical times, anointing with oil was interpreted in two ways. First was the ordinary way, you might say, when someone had a guest over at a house. One little ritual that could be done to show honor to the guest is to anoint their head with oil. They would do this for people who were the honored guests at a house. It wasn't an uncommon thing to do at a dinner in ancient Israel. And one could say this was just an ordinary thing done to a special honored guest. What is he honored for? Well, we could think of all the things that these people knew Jesus to have done. Most recently, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. It's in Bethany. That's where Lazarus was from. Mary and Martha, they had healed them. He had been their teacher. He had done various healings. He turned water into wine, for they just about ran out there at that wedding. He had taught about a kingdom of righteousness and peace that comes by grace through faith in his being and of his truth rather than the works of the law. The teaching about this kingdom, his eating with outcasts, this feeding the poor and clothing the naked, that would be the honorific thing to do for this man. Anoint him with oil. It's a sign of respect for all that Jesus had already done. The other anointing with oil in the Bible was not just ordinary, but official. You would anoint prophets before they begin their prophecy. You would anoint kings before they begin their kingship. It was a sign of a divinely appointed authority given to them. You anoint them with oil. God is a part of this. Kings, like King David, were anointed 3 times. In this way, we can see Jesus being anointed at Simon the leper's house as king of the people in distress. In the village called Bethany, also called the house of poverty, and as such, you might see the irony or the alarm in people's faces that this ointment used by the woman was expensive. Pure nard. Very costly, it says. Sold for 300 denarii if they would have sold it. That would have been about $20,000 of our money. And it could have been sold and given to the poor. The people in Bethany were poor. Our text in Mark 14 says some were scolding the woman for wasting the ointment like that. Knowing Jesus, I wouldn't have been surprised if she would have asked permission first, prior to doing the anointing, that he might have said, "Dear woman, no. I've already been anointed by the word of my Father from before the foundation of the world." But this woman didn't ask permission. She just went up and broke that flask and poured the whole thing on his head, kind of like they do at football games when they take a big cooler of Gatorade and pours it up. Nobody asked the coach, "Do you want me to do this?" It's just done to them. Nobody says, "Thanks, but no thanks." Nobody says, "You could save this for people who really need it." It's just done. And instead of scolding the woman, Jesus redeemed the situation. He redeemed her in the sight of everyone. He says, "Leave her alone. Why are you trying to stop her? Why trouble her? What she has done is a beautiful thing to me." Then he interpreted the anointing a third way, not the ordinary or the official way. But he says this is preparation for his burial. Here is his words. "For you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial." The sense that you got, both in the nose and by the cost of the oil, is just how precious the body of the Lord Jesus is, and how precious is his death that is coming. More precious than gold or silver, or expensive oils, or stocks and bonds. All of that will pass away. Everything in this world is perceived to have value, but it is he who can bring us by his death into the next world, who truly is precious. Passion Week is remembering just how precious our Lord Jesus is. His body for you. His rising for you. Jesus may have been anointed by an unnamed woman, but she was not unknown or valueless. She and what she had done was not insignificant to the gospel, and neither are you. Holy Week is not just remembering the major players like Pilate and Herod and Peter and Judas and John and Mary and things that happened 2,000 years ago. It's really about those who truly see Jesus as precious. God does, the woman did, and so do you who come during Holy Week. You see just how precious Jesus is. That's why you come. So wave your palm branches today, sing your hosannas, and return to the Lord's house this week. For the Lord has made known this truth. What is significant to God is that which seems insignificant to the world. What is precious to Him are those who come to know Jesus as the Anointed, the worthy guest, the King of Kings, and the Lamb of God who takes away our sins, sitting on the throne as He does. Not the throne of this world, but the throne of His cross and the throne of His open tomb, to show all of us, His beloved friends, what is truly significant. You and Him in glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. May God keep your minds on things above this week for Holy Week, and just how precious our Lord Jesus' death really is. In His holy name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.